Catherine's eyes looked at me, tired of everything, a terrible weariness. When I pulled her from the plane, her stare had tried to receive all things around her. Now the eyes were guarded as if protecting something inside. I moved closer. I sat on my heels. I leaned forward and put my tongue against the right blue eye, a taste of salt, pollen. I carried that taste to her mouth. Then the other eye. My tongue against the fine porousness of the eyeball, wiping off the blue. When I moved back, there was a sweep of white across her gaze. I parted the lips on her mouth. This time I let the finger go in deeper and prized the teeth apart. The tongue was withdrawn, and I had to pull it forward. There was a thread, a breath of death in her. It was almost too late. I leaned forward and with my tongue carried the blue pollen to her tongue. We touched this way once. Nothing happened. I pulled back, took a breath, and then went forward again. As I met the tongue, there was a twitch within it. Then the terrible snarl, violent and intimate, came out of her upon me. A shudder through her whole body like a path of electricity. She was flung from the propped position against the painted wall. The creature had entered her, and it leapt and fell against me. There seemed to be less and less light in the cave, her neck flipping this way and that. I know the devices of a demon. I was taught as a child about the demon lover. I was told about a beautiful temptress who came to a young man's room, and he, if he were wise, would demand that she turn around, because demons and witches have no back, only what they wish to present to you. What had I done? What animal had I delivered into her? I had been speaking to her, I think, for over an hour. Had I been her demon lover? This country, had I charted it and turned it into her place of war? It is important to die in holy places. That was one of the secrets of the desert. When I turned her around, her whole body was covered in bright pigment, herbs in stone and light and the ash of acacia to make her eternal. The body pressed against sacred colour. Only the eye blue removed, made anonymous. A naked map where nothing is depicted, no signature of lake, no lime-green fan where the Nile rivers enter the open palm of Alexandria, the edge of Africa. And all the names of the tribes, the nomads of faith who walked in the monotone of the desert and saw brightness and faith and colour. The way a stone or found metal box or bone can become loved and turn eternal in a prayer. Such glory of this country she enters now and becomes part of. We die containing a richness of lovers and tribes, tastes we have swallowed, bodies we have plunged into and swum up as if rivers of wisdom, characters we have climbed into as if trees, fears we have hidden in as if caves. I wish for all this to be marked on my body when I am dead. I believe in such cartography, to be marked by nature, not just to label ourselves on a map like the names of rich men and women on buildings. We are communal histories, communal books. We are not owned or monogamous in our taste or experience. All I desired was to walk upon such an earth that had no maps. I carried Catherine Clifton into the desert, where there is the communal book of moonlight. We were among the rumour of wells, in the palace of winds. Ormash's face fell to the left, staring at nothing. Caravaggio's knees, perhaps. Do you want some morphine now? No. Can I get you something? Nothing, Ormash said.